Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are on the phone this afternoon with Dr. K.P. Yohannan. He is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church, an indigenous church in South Asia, and he's also the founder and director of Gospel for Asia. We're going to be discussing today the unbelievable COVID crisis that is going on in Kerala and other parts of South India, and it's not even COVID, Dr. Yohannan, that you're worried about now, is it?
Yeah, you know, I tell people, Jim, COVID is 5% of the problem. 95% is the starvation, people dying, and the suicide rate is skyrocketing out of despair and hopelessness. This has become possibly the major concern that I can remember of my lifetime in India in terms of people dying of starvation because they don't have any job. Daily wage earners are maybe 80-90% of the population in the villages, and millions of people making a living by begging on the streets, like over 100,000 children in the city of Mumbai and Calcutta, by government estimates. And now there's nobody on the streets to beg from. And people are hurting deeply because of the COVID. But then, honestly, I think if they evaluate COVID by the number of people dying, they would have been thousand times better. Now the biggest crisis is like a mother throwing her 5 children into the river, and when the police caught her, she said, "I can't anymore watch my children starving," and she was going to end her life like that too. Kind of a window to look through and see the massive crisis, not just in India, but in neighboring nations, in the rural communities as it is. You know, the daily income of these people are maybe $1 or $2 by the daily wages they but now you can imagine just the suffering of the people. So that's where we have now over 1,000 congregations in Southeast Asia daily involved in distributing food, cooking meals, bringing whatever medicine they can, you know, the malaria pills that helps, all kind of things they're doing just to help people survive. But through all this, more people are asking the question, like, why are you doing it? Who are you? Of course, the answer always is because of the love of Christ. And, you know, emotionally, all of us are drained by watching and looking at what's going on. Of course, you know, we put all these pictures and tremendous amount of information on our website, you know, just by people, you know, going to gfa.org. They can see these pictures and pray for God to show mercy, because I don't believe God is the author of all this. It's Satan doing all this, but God will use all this to show his mercy and people may know him.
Dr. K.P., can I ask you a question about the people that you're actually ministering to? Many Americans don't really understand the caste system. And you've chosen to go into a country where most of the population would consider a lot of the people that you work with as unlovely. And yet you have embraced these people and loved them and helped them, everything from gaining a salvation in Jesus Christ to having animals to support their families to providing medical care and just changing their lives completely.
You know, Jim, to put this in proper perspective, now here in our country, we have, you know, riots going on, all kind of places, you know, Black Life Matters and then abortion issue. All these are real problems. But, you know, the years of slavery in this country or Europe. But take these problems, multiply that, 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, you get the unbelievable suffering and crisis of not one or two people. Like in India, one-third of the population, 1.3 billion people live in the country, some 300 million people are from the Dalits or the untouchables. And by religious caste system, these people have less value than a cow or a dog or an animal. And this is extremely sad. There are thousands of pages, of volumes, books, case studies from legal courts of these untouchable women who are pregnant. They come to hospitals. In some places, they get thrown out because they are from low caste, and the upper caste medical professionals don't want to deal with them. Of course, it is changing a lot. Our, you know, Prime Minister the abuse of these people are taken into consideration now. Yet, we realize that only the message of Christ, that God is one, He loves all people, whether they are black or white or Dalit or untouchables. You know, there was a time in Indian history that an untouchable or Dalits, they are not permitted to enter into the premises of the Hindu temple. If they did, they would be beaten up or killed. And the stories of rape and killing, you know, one of the saddest stories I heard was, which was publicized widely in Delhi, five Dalits or untouchable men were lynched. They were brutally murdered for skinning a dead cow. And the sad thing is, only the untouchables are the ones who will skin dead animals. The upper caste will not touch them. But somebody accused them that they killed a cow. You can see how, you know, John 10:10, Jesus said, Satan has come to destroy and to kill. And that is not only in India, but all over the world. You'll find the huge animosity, killing of the little unborn babies. But it hurts me to think on the streets of Mumbai or Dhaka in Kathmandu, hundreds and hundreds of women carrying their naked little babies, skin and bones, begging for a few pieces of bread or penny to make a living. They are human beings. God made them. And we chose to go to these poor people. And we, you know, now have 70,000 children we picked up from these communities, giving them education and hope. And every year, hundreds and hundreds of them graduate from their high school. And some serve the Lord and others go into find a new life and hope for the future. And this is the gospel. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And that was not just, you know, this prosperity gospel preachers doing, but really live among them and care for them and, you know, help them. And that's what our people do. You know, we have 48 leper colonies where sisters of compassion, like Mother Teresa sisters, we trained these sisters 3 years to go into leper colonies and live there to minister to these thousands of people. And finally, we built a hospital exclusively for 2,000 families that are people contracted leprosy in West Bengal. But the amazing thing, Jim, Sunday you go there, you'll find in the church where these people raising their hands and worshiping Jesus, but many of them don't have their fingers, their nose gone, their ears gone. Of course, they recovered, but they're deformed. Yet deep down in their heart, they realize there is a world waiting for them if only they receive God's mercy and love, and that's what's happening.
Dr. K.P. Yohannan is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church in South Asia. He is the founder and director of Gospel for Asia. He's actually been in the pulpit at Calvary Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I think a number of times. I know I've seen you at least twice, so we need to get you back out here. But as our listeners are listening to the show today, KP, I want to remind them that they can go to knkt.com, and when you get to that, you want to click on COVID Crisis Response. You'll be taken immediately to the Gospel for Asia website, where you're going to find all about what's going on with starvation in South Asia. And Kerala is particularly highlighted right now. Why are you guys focusing on Kerala at this time?
You know, as a matter of fact, 90% of our evangelism ministry, everything is in North India and neighboring countries. What happened is that we had very little emphasis on the extreme southern tip of India, Kerala state, because its literacy rate is so high, almost 100%. People are well-to-do mostly. And we didn't think there was so much problem, but all of a sudden they realized that the fastest number of people getting affected by COVID virus happened to be now in Kerala. It's a the state with less than 30 million people, but 54,000 people are affected, and it increasing, doubling almost every day, they say. And the recovery rate, you know, we have a medical college and a hospital in that state that train medical doctors and medical professionals to serve among the poor people. And so we realized that there's such a massive need. Again, it is not just the medical help that is needed. It is the hunger and starvation of people. Like, Pastor Skip and I traveled often to India many, many times. And whenever you go there, any railway station, like in Kerala, there are dozens of them, you will find hundreds and hundreds of people who are there to carry your luggage, and they do it on their head, like from the English time, they're called coolies, and you pay them for carrying your suitcases. And now you go there, they ask the question, these tens of thousands of people who work from morning till night to make a living, they have no jobs. There's no transportation, nothing. So our we got about 96 churches in that state. So we have encouraged every church to engage in caring for the people in the community by bringing food, calling people, finding if they are sick, help them with whatever they can. And through all these things, what's happening, the love of Christ is spread through need and word. And amazed we are how many people open their hearts to pray and ask God to help them, although they are in such desperate need. And again, it is like the psalmist who said, I'm glad that I was in great trouble, I was given the opportunity to turn to God. And so, this is a situation that we are dealing with, and the spread of the virus in the state of Kerala has become acute and very, very serious. People are scared to death. And we are doing everything we can, but thank God for the government, that is the police and the officials are extremely helpful. Because our people cannot just go and do whatever they want to do. They are restricted. But the government officials and others are helping us immensely in caring for these people, bringing food to them. And also we provide all the facilities we have to accommodate people infected with the virus until they recover. And some people are dying, but again, the physical need is so huge, especially poor people. They are living in huts and little shacks. Where do they go? Here, we say quarantine means, you know, air-conditioned room and a house and or facilities, but that is not the case with people in slums or in very, very poor conditions. That is where I think, where Jesus said in Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, you know, I was hungry, I was naked, and I was in trouble, and you cared for me. And I think we forget. We are blessed beyond words can describe to be part of the most powerful nation on earth, the most affluent nation on earth, and blessed nation on earth. And I always said this, Jim, I do not know any country in the world in my lifetime, I'm 70 years old, that people are so kind, so gracious, so giving, so loving as Americans are. I don't mean just Christians, but all people. And one of the reasons I want to believe God will extend his mercy to this nation because of the giving and caring kindness of the people in this country. I do not know any people on earth like Americans. And I mean, we've been helped immensely already during these last 4 months from people giving resources so we can help literally hundreds of thousands of families to survive by providing food and needs they have. And one amazing story, Jim, one Hindu man in the state of Punjab came to our local leader of the church and gave him 700,000 Indian rupees, which is a huge amount of money. And this Hindu gentleman said, I watched you people are helping and rescuing the poor and feeding them, and I didn't know who else is doing it. And he then gave all the money to our people. Then in the same city, the High Court judge came and gave 20,000 rupees to our people. And all over India, everywhere, people are extending their, you know, help. But the greatest help we have is actually from the people like Albuquerque and, you know, Dallas and the United States. Although they never seen these people in Bangladesh or Kerala or any of these places, just by hearing the news, they open their heart. And I think someday we are going to find out when we meet Jesus that what our people are doing, we did it. And many are experiencing the love of Christ through our doing this in the time of such great suffering and need for people so far away from us, yet by faith we do it.
Dr. K.P. Yohannan is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church in South Asia and the founder and director of Gospel for Asia, ministering all over the country. K.P., you just mentioned that in Kerala you have almost 96 churches. The infrastructure and the time and the investment of into people that you've made in that country, you've trained pastors, you've risen up you've brought to the forefront people that want to minister that are indigenous to the country. God's used your ministry to overcome language barriers. So when our listeners decide they want to help you feed people, you can be very effective in spending that money and getting it to people that really need it, can't you?
Yeah, we do. You know, Jim, we have well-established 12,000 churches, congregations in all these 16 nations. And when a crisis happens, like, you know, the earthquake in Nepal, instantly we have thousands of people who are out there able to bring help and hope. And also we have a ongoing training program for all our people, our 52 seminaries and churches everywhere, caring for the poor and the needy and the suffering, and how do you respond in crisis time, what do you do, things like that. So, you know, like this COVID, you know, the 7-8 million people live in the slums of Mumbai. Within days of breaking out this crisis, our people were in the slums, able to care for the people and work with the government officials and all that. So the amazing thing is, you know, when I think about all the 40 years of our serving God And, you know, I never forget the time I came to Albuquerque first time, Pastor, Skip Heitzig, he got a PhD, so Dr. Skip Heitzig and Lenny, they had 18 people in the Bible study. And that's where I remember our journey started, and there are thousands of people there being a part of our life journey. But today, we have over 4 million people that follow the love of Christ, and it didn't happen overnight. But then, as you said, we have the infrastructure, we have the people who can respond to these things. We don't have to fly, 20 hours to get to some place. It's instantly. Nowadays, especially with the telephone conference and Zoom facilities and all that, almost every week, I just got stuck in the United States, but I have meetings with people in all these countries continually, encouraging them and hearing reports and stories of how many people are being rescued from the verge of killing themselves or dying of starvation. It's a massive privilege that we do have a church that is so widespread and well-established, speaking over 300 language groups that help us. It's one thing to have a lot of money or facility, but if you don't have the people to do the work, what do you do? Jesus sent out his disciples. And so we are able to do the same thing by already sending out people, and they are there if only we can get help so they can keep providing. And it's going to be months, longer than that to restore the suffering of some of these people to normality, I think. The school children and health problems and everything is so acute. But the mercy of God is that, like Jim, you are there, and I happen to be in Dallas, yet our lives are linked with thousands of people, both in India and Nepal and Burma and Bhutan and China and many of these places, that we are able to do things that, otherwise we'll never be able to do. So GFA, it basically is a bridge. It is an extension of the body of Christ to do things that they themselves cannot do. And we have the resources, and by God's mercy, we are able to do what we are doing, and we need to do a lot more. Somebody recently asked me, what is the greatest need right now for the COVID crisis? And I said, if you have $1 million, we could just spend on buying food for the people. That's the greatest need we have.
Dr. Yohanan, how can people in New Mexico, you've got little tiny towns like Raton, you have a larger city like Albuquerque, but when I say larger, it's nowhere near the size of the cities like Mumbai that you've talked about. How can people in our small state help Gospel for Asia and be part of your ministry?
My honest request and I plead with them, first of all, please go to our website, the website you talked about, and mm-hmm. and get information. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 says, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And by seeing these pictures and information, they will see it's a real thing and what actually has been happening. Secondly, I pray that people will decide to take even a day or fasting a week and use that money and resources to help a family or two to have their food in these countries. And any money they give, $10, $30, or even $1, saying that I want this to be used for the COVID crisis to help the people, we will make sure it is done. And as a matter of fact, this COVID crisis is the one entity we made a decision that we will not take any money for administrative expense, nothing, but we will spend it to help. And already it is happening. And so the best thing is go to the website and they get all the information how they can become part of helping the poor and the needy and missionaries and sisters who are working in the leper colonies in this crisis time.
KP, how did you come to know about Jesus? You were raised yourself in South India, correct?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was born in the southern tip of India, and I do not know how many generations ago my people, family, came to believe in the Lord Jesus. But when I was 8 years old, my mother took me to church. Of course, you know, Sundays we go to church. And then one day she explained to me, as young as I was, about giving my heart to Jesus, and Jesus died for me. And, you know, going to church with everybody else is good, but Jesus loves me. And she was instrumental in having me pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. And I didn't understand all about it because I don't know what sin was and all kind of stuff. But, you know, of course, you know, little lies and disobedience and these kind of things, you know, mother explained are sin. And Jesus died for me. And that's my mother was instrumental in my giving my life to the Lord. Of course, then she was quietly praying that one of her six boys, I am the youngest, would go to serve the Lord. And all of them went to business and farming and all kind of things. And when I finished my high school, I really felt in my heart I want to serve God. And I told my parents about it. My mother was the first one who, without any warning, said, no, no, you must go to serve God. And I did not notice that she was praying for 3.5 years, every Friday fasting, that one of her sons would commit their life to serve God, although she never told this to anyone. And now, of course, you know, she is with the Lord. She died at the age of 84 in early 2000. Right. And, you know, I'm confident that she is now with Jesus, looking down and being part of the cloud of witnesses and seeing, you know, her journey on earth, how much she prayed and walked with the Lord. And she didn't take nothing with her when she went to heaven. But she left something more precious, that is praying and asking God to send one of her sons to serve God. And here I am, you know, God's mercy. So, you know, that's the reason I think every parent should pray their children not only know the Lord, but they will follow the Lord. And, you know, this is preaching and teaching is not enough for our children to follow the Lord. It is going to be our life. And that was my mother. Every day I saw her early morning, 3-4 hours in the room praying. And she was incredibly a godly saint in terms of knowing the Lord. And, you know, I got 2 children. They both came to know the Lord very young. And one is in India serving the Lord with their family. And the other one is here. He was 12 years in Nepal and India serving the Lord. And so it's been a wonderful journey. And now I'm in the final stretch of ending this life here on earth, but looking forward to seeing what the Lord did through this journey of pain and struggle, knowing Him and serving Him. And this has been a wonderful journey with difficulties, but it's been good.
Dr. K.P. Yohannan is the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church in South Asia. He's also the founder and director of Gospel for Asia. We've been talking about Gospel for Asia's COVID crisis response in Kerala and the entire region of South Asia, North India, all the way south down to Kerala. Dr. Yohannan, we so much appreciate your time and your ministry, and we pray, we will commit to praying for the ministry and for yourself. And I think you've got a few more years, my friend, before you're going to be going out to pasture. So don't leave us anytime soon, okay?
Well, thank you, Jim. And I must say one more word, that is, you know, Pastor Skip Heitzak is not only such a dear brother to me and friend, but he has become kind of my Bible teacher. I listened to his teaching forever, and I'm the one who told him, pestered him so many times, Skip, please put all your teaching, the 30,000 feet Bible study, as a book, and he did it, and I got a copy of it, and people there in Albuquerque may not know how blessed they are, privileged to have someone like him, who is one of the most brilliant Bible teacher in the world. I can tell you that much. And I'm so glad he's my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Yohanan, for sharing your time with us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Blessings.
Blessings to you.